Hi, you're listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, and as anticipated, Pastor Dietrich did make it home from the country of Belarus, where he was for about a week and a half, and we wanted to take this broadcast segment this morning and just interview him and give you a feel of things that he had seen and learned while he was there. So we're looking forward to this time, and I'm going to jump right in and just begin to ask him some questions. Pastor, it's good to have you back and glad to have you stateside. Why don't you tell us the name of the town and about the size of where you were?
Don't ask me to spell it. It was Dzerzhinsk. Dzerzhinsk was the town that I was in, and it was about 25,000 people. It's outside of Minsk, about a 45-minute drive. Minsk is the capital of Belarus, and I never did really learn exactly how big it is, but I would say that it's probably a million people or so.
Wow. Okay. But you ministered from people not just in Dzerzhinsk, but a few areas?
Right. Dzerzhinsk is 45-minute drive southwest of Minsk, and then a 45-minute drive northeast of Minsk is a town called Zhordina, and I ministered to congregations from all three of those cities.
When you're looking at their standard of living, how would you describe it and compare it?
You know, in comparison to the United States, I would say that they're most of the people that I saw would be lower middle class. I'm sure that there are people that are higher than that, but the people that I had opportunity to meet were very simple people. Probably for every person that lives in a house, there's probably 15 to 20 people who live in apartments. There's lots of apartments. In the houses, there's an old part of town and a new part of town. The new part of town, most of the construction is with these square blocks that they make and glue together. And so a lot of the new construction is glued together like concrete blocks, but not like we would see them. They're not hollow. They are just, one piece of concrete poured, and then they glue them together. But the old part of town is all frame.
When you talk about, you had mentioned to me about landscaping or the lack thereof, describe their yards. And
just very simple. Everything is fenced. They have to try to keep thieves out, and so they fence everything. There's mud everywhere this time of year because very few people have a lawn at all because they farm their lawn. Their lawn is their garden. They plant every square foot with tomatoes and cucumbers and beets and potatoes, and if they have a yard that would be maybe 20 feet by 40 feet, that's their garden. They don't need lawnmowers.
Take a couple minutes and describe how their life is just intertwined. Their various elements of their life are intertwined.
Well, while I was there, I learned of a lady that had been hospitalized for 2 months because of a problem that she had while she was bearing a child. And the family didn't really think she needed to be hospitalized all that time, but it didn't matter. The way this system works is you have to do what the doctor says. This is a socialist type government, and if the doctor says you need to be in the hospital, you kind of have to go along with that. You can't get a second opinion because that would be offensive to the doctor. So you do what he says, because if he reports you to your company, then you've got problems. The factories, if you work for a factory or if you worked for a business, they own an apartment building in which they put all of their people. Part of your pay is your apartment. And so if the doctor reports to your company that you're uncooperative, that he told you you needed to be in the hospital and you won't go, then the company may fire you because you didn't obey the doctor. And if the company fires you, then you get kicked out of your apartment. So it's like a real problem. Everything is tied together. They like control your entire life.
Wow. So it's kind of an all or nothing type.
All
thing.
Or nothing. And wow. You just have to, you have to learn not to make waves.
What's the religious climate like there? We've probably heard rumors or whatever, but what have you seen there and heard?
Well, what I learned from our missionary that we visited there was that things were actually better 5 years ago, 10 years ago than they are now. It seems as though the government of Belarus they felt like they let out too many liberties. Whenever communism fell and the Soviet bloc countries all became independent again and Belarus separated from the Soviet Union, they granted quite a few liberties at one point. At one point, the missionaries there were able to do door-to-door or stand on a street corner and pass out tracts. They were able to assemble without feeling like they were going to be arrested. But 5 years ago, that changed. They felt like they had let out too many liberties. And so now our missionary there cannot go door to door. He cannot pass out tracts on a street corner. He can pass out tracts if he has an individual conversation with someone, but it has to be an individual thing. He can go to an apartment building and get in, but he has to ring the buzzer of some particular person in there, and that particular person has to grant him permission by ringing him in. But once he's inside the building, he does not have freedom to knock on any other doors. He can only go talk to the one person. So it's almost like soul winning by reference. Okay. You can go visit somebody, but you'd better have a reference from somebody that they know and who's concerned about them. Then you can go witness to that person, but it's kind of like a one-at-a-time type ministry.
I see. This is probably the most important question of the morning. This is just really important for people to hear and to understand. What are the particular difficulties or the obstacles that our missionary works with over there?
Well, our missionary works, first of all, with this thing that we just described with the diminished liberties. And I think one reason that his congregation is as well off now as it is because he had that 10 or 15 years of liberty to work with less obstruction. Of course, in the last 5 years, it's become very difficult because of these diminished liberties. Also, our missionary there feels that there is a developing anti-American sentiment. There have been some people that he has won to Christ. They have come to the church, attended maybe 6 months or a year. They've followed the Lord in baptism, in some cases become members of the church, and then all of a sudden it's like their mood changes and they begin to drift away. One of the reasons for that is that he believes that there is a continuing anti-American sentiment and an influence on their lives in other places where they are, you know, maybe it's at the workplace, maybe it's relatives, but somebody's turning their heart away because they're associated with the American. And he feels that if he were a Russian or a Belarusian, that maybe these people would not feel the need to fall away, but because they're associated with the American, other people or other organizations put pressure on them to disassociate themselves, that their lives are actually easier if they don't intermingle with this American. So that would be the second reason. The third difficulty that he works with is it's just been always communism handled a lot of the problems of their society by just making alcohol available everywhere. And so alcoholism is a real problem. The discontent of a people they solved by making vodka readily available at a cheap price. And so, you know, if you can't be happy, be drunk. And you know, so he deals with this and it makes it very hard. And it's been especially on the men in Belarus. It's hard to find a man who is not an alcoholic, who is not dealing habitually with problems of drunkenness and so forth, and to bring them into the church. And of course, to be a member of a Baptist church, you can't drink vodka or, you know, in the United States, it would be whiskey, but their vodka is the big drink. You can't do that. So it's hard to get male leadership in the churches. So from the anti-American sentiment and from the diminished liberties, you kind of gather this alcoholism is a problem that has been used to kind of medicate the society, so to speak, or to insulate them from the kind of the pain of their daily existence. And that, of course, from the alcoholism, then has come the problem of the lack of male leadership. In some of the churches, there's not even a man in the church that you can call on to lead in prayer. And that's really a difficult problem. You know, I visited the church in Jordan, and there was one man there and probably 25 ladies.
Wow. And that affects the young men too, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Sure. And so what they have is they have in their youth ministry, I saw maybe 12 to 15 good, godly young girls in their, I'll say, 13 to 18 years of age. But by the time they get 23, 24, 25, they're going to want a husband and they're going to want to get married and have children. So because there's no men in the church, then they're tempted to marry an unsaved man who may or may not let them continue in church, but it's going to drag them down when they marry a man that's not saved, who doesn't share their values and their beliefs and convictions and so forth. So it's an ongoing problem. Every decade they lose these young ladies that they've maybe invested 10 or 12 years in, but they begin to slip away because there's just not any men for them to marry.
So really, that alcohol just pervades the whole society. It wrecks the men, which of course influence the boys to think that it's wimpish to be a Christian and that's the way they ought to live.
Exactly.
Which of course in turn affects the young ladies, which then will grow up to be elderly ladies. And wow. So
right.
Just generationally, that's just going to keep continuing.
Yep.
Well, we're about out of time. Is there a burden or a challenge that you could leave with our listeners this morning?
Our missionary there told me that he would really wish that we would pray that God would give them men. They've won many ladies to Christ and a few men, but the men last for a brief time and then seem to fall away. It's just not a masculine, manly thing to do. Lots of other influences on their lives, and it's just hard to find male leadership in those churches. And they said if we could summarize all of it, there's many prayer requests, but the one huge one that would make a great difference in all three of the churches that I visited is if they could have some good, godly, male, Christian, manly leadership.
Pastor, thank you. It's been a joy this morning. Friend, you've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, and we've been interviewing Pastor Dan Dietrich, who just returned home from Belarus and has been telling us about the religious climate, just what things are like there, what obstacles the missionary faces. And he leaves us with a challenge to pray for men. They need male leadership. If you want to hear a fuller report of his trip to Belarus, why don't you join us this evening at the 6 o'clock service? Pastor will be showing several pictures and will be narrating through those pictures and telling us even more and showing us the people. And so if that's a report you'd like to hear, join us then here at the First Baptist Church of Wayland at 6 o'clock this evening. Thank you again for listening. I'm Daniel Fox. Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.